I am. I'm serious. No, I am. I am. Be quiet. Jesus will make a way. 11:45 p.m., you get on a plane, getting your cushion ready, falling asleep. Then someone wakes you up and says, do you want something to eat? At 1 o'clock in the morning, do you want something to eat? So, of course, showing the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't it amazing how you have to develop the fruit of the Spirit in all situations? With the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, self-control, no thank you. Your eyes feel like got sand in them, you know. But praise the Lord. It was a successful trip, a great trip. Pastors were encouraged. But, you know, I really believe that us five that went there were more blessed than they were. You're seeing faith in action. You're seeing people live it out. Not just talk the talk. They're living it out. Amen. There was a church with a room of 8 meters long by 3 meters wide, and there was 92 people in it. And there was people outside waiting to get in. Most of them ladies, because Sunday there is the work day. Most of them ladies. Anyway, a mouse came in. So these 92 people were jumping around, not in the Holy Ghost, from a mouse. People going everywhere. The speaker's got an area about this big. He can't move. It's just wild. It's just different. It's just something to behold. But then again, you see them cry out for Jesus. You see them cry out for Jesus. They'll be at a meeting from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. Hungry. Just grabbing every word that's been spoken. You prophesy, and they fall on their face because God is speaking. Reverence, holiness, fear of God. Anyway, India is all good. If you ever want to go to India with me, please bring a pillow and your gas mask. That's just for walking down the street. Serious. Anyway, that's enough about India. That's enough about India. Saw miracles. Saw people blind eyes see. Saw their foot, club foot turn. Was about 45 degrees, it turned straight. Just saw miracles. And it's expected. They believe it. They want it. And it's done. And it humbles you. It humbles you. I left my Bible at a wedding. So I haven't got my Bible today. I've got many Bibles at home. But this Bible's been with me for 32 years. And I'm believing God for my Bible. So bear with me as I preach the Word of God. I want to talk about a Damascus Road experience. A Damascus Road experience. I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. We're going to read from 1 to 16 together. Acts chapter 9, 1 to 16 together. Before I do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word this morning. We ask you, my God, that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, I don't want to preach information. Lord, we want revelation from the very Spirit of God himself. That would ignite the coals of our hearts. That we would burn brightly. That we would have people of fresh oil. We ask for that, Father, because only you can do that. We ask for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 9, verse 1 to 16 says this. Then Saul, still breathing, I'll read it from here, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. You got to understand, Saul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Saul was one that of the very enchalant of high society in the Pharisaical movement. He hated Christians. In fact, as Christians, he was a terrorist. an absolute terrorist. We went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. That's how much a terrorist he was. Damascus isn't even in Israel. It's in Syria. He even went to other countries looking for Christians. Such was his hatred. So if he found any of the who were of the way, I love that. So they lived a lifestyle. People in Robbie's country and island, if they were Christians, they were called good living. These were called the way. They lived a different way. They were known as a different way. Amen? That challenged me, actually. Am I known? Had I lived differently? They were of a different way. Those of the way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed from the journey, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, God can do it quickly, God can do miraculously, God can do something supernaturally quickly, suddenly. God's a God of the suddenlies. Who believes that? He can turn your situation upside down, inside out, suddenly. He was on a way, not the right way, he was on a way to meet the way and the Lord of the way. Amen? Suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. In the middle of the day, this light got brighter than the day he was living in. I want to tell you, no matter how well you think life is, no matter how well you think you're doing, God's love and brightness and light is greater than anything you can imagine. God will turn your world upside down. If he's got a call of God, if he's called you, if he's got his fingerprint on your life, he will turn your world upside down to get you the right way of living. He will make sure what you're doing is his way, not your way. Paul thought he was doing the will of God. He's a Pharisee. I'm going to kill these Christians. He stood there when Stephen was getting stoned to death, gathering, holding the coats of the murderers. He thought he was doing a service to God. But God had to get a hold of him on his Damascus road. And I believe everyone, every born-again Christian has had a Damascus road. You have had a suddenly in your life. You have woken up realizing that you're in error and that you were in sin and that you needed a person called Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't know about you, but I knew that I was on the wrong road. I knew I was heading down the wrong path. I thought it was that way was the right way for my life. Get a good education, get a good job, make good money, get married, have kids. I thought that was the right way. But it isn't the right way. The only way is him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything I need is found in him. I want to reiterate that, especially to our younger people. Everything you need is found in him. So then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You ever thought of that? Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus says to Paul on earth, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was persecuting the church. You touch his church, you touch Jesus. I'll say that again. You touch his church, you touch Jesus. To a point where you can get God, the persecution of a member of the church or a believer like Stephen, when he was stoned to death, Jesus was sitting and he stood up. Because we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So much was the persecution happening of a saint that it caused Jesus to stand up in heaven. Think about that. You think about that. Think about that for my life. Because sometimes we don't need the devil to persecute people in church. You don't need a devil to persecute people in church. The church does a good job all by itself. where we can throw fiery darts of the enemy. The devil's not throwing them. Christians throw them. Unforgiveness, resentment, anger, bitterness, hurting another saint. But what that does, what that causes is God's attention. Because you're not hurting just the saint. You're hurting God. So I think sometimes we've got to realize that we're not just friends. We're not just acquaintances. If you're born again here, you're not my acquaintance. If you're born again here this morning, you're my brother and sister. We are family. Does it mean I agree with everything my family does? No. No, certainly not. Do I agree with everything Matilda does? No. Does my wallet agree with everything Matilda does? No. Does she agree with everything I do? No. Give me five, love. Peace be still. No, of course not. But that, does that difference cause me to not love her? No. So therefore, we have no right as a brother and sister, as a family member, to hold grudges, unforgiveness, or whatever against one another. More so as if we see the day approaching, because the Bible says the body is edified and grows according to what every joint supplies. Book of Ephesians. But every joint supplies. Therefore, a joint is the minimum of two parts. I need you. And even though you might not like me, you are commanded to love me. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is not a suggestion. That is a command. And you will need me. Otherwise, there will be no growth in your... You might need me to be your sandpaper. You might need me to be that irritant in your eye. I might need to be the one in your dreams that really gets up your goat. Doesn't matter how you grow, as long as you grow, you need me. So when someone does the opposite to what you think they should do and not treat you the way they should, you think they should treat you. Notice I'm keep using that word think, because my old man, bless his heart, when he was alive, used to say this. David, you know what thought done? Because I used to say this a lot. Dad, I just thought that you... He says, you know what thought done? I said, what? He says, thought wrong. Stop thinking too much. Wait for it to happen. Sometimes we think this and we think that and we think this and we think that, and that thinking can actually change the scenario in my brain, but the scenario hasn't changed at all. It's just changed here. So what I've got to do is allow and captivate the thoughts and walk in the fruit of the... Walk in the fruit of the what? The Spirit. We have to be a people of the Spirit. We have to have the mindset of the Spirit. The minute I step out of the mindset of the Spirit, I'm walking in the mindset of the flesh. And the mindset of the flesh will lead me to a place called death. Doesn't mean I'm going to die. But it means that my thinking is stinking. My thinking is wrong. My attitude is wrong. My fruit has become putrid. You shall know them by their... Either make this tree good or make this tree bad. Is that what it says in John? Make this tree. Who does the making? He tells me to say that. He says that to me. He says, either you make this tree good or make this tree bad. And how I do that is by my attitude and surrender to the Holy Ghost. If I refuse to surrender, if all he is Christ Jesus, my Savior to me, and not my Lord, my tree can be, I can come to church, I can lift up my hands, I can play happy clappy songs, I can roll and I can do the best with the wet rest, I can do all that. But if there's no fruit in my life, what happens is my life becomes stagnant and I start thinking in the natural realm. The book of Romans says this, the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're now in warfare with God. And here's something I've learned after 42 years of Christian. You won't win. you better surrender now. He's right, you're wrong. It's as simple as that. He's right, you're wrong. Bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, yes, Lord, amen. I will change. I will change. Because repentance is what? Change. Repentance is not feeling sorrowful. Repentance is not being sorrowful. Yet it can contain all those things. Repentance is not crying. Yet it can contain crying. Repentance is this. I choose to turn around from the mindset I'm in. And I will not walk in the old and come into the new. That's repentance. Too often the Western church, specifically the Western church, think because they say sorry, they've repented. No, sorry is acknowledgement of my wrong. That's all it is, acknowledging of my wrong. It is not fruits of repentance. Fruits of repentance is saying, I refuse to touch that. I refuse to look at that. I refuse not to do that anymore. And turn away from that, and he graces you to take a step. You might take a step back, but as long as you're attempting to do the right thing, God will empower you and grace you to keep walking away from that thing. That is repentance. Amen? That is the fruit of repentance. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He was persecuting the body. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. You are now mine. When God has his fingerprint on you, you are his. Yeah, we might run away. We might be like the prodigal son. We might experience things we shouldn't experience, do things I shouldn't do. But I'm telling you, I don't know, matter how far low you go, Jonah, God is there. And he will keep reminding you and reminding you and reminding you. He will not let your mind go, and he will keep speaking to your heart and your mind that you belong to him. For you have been bought with a price. He has an avid investment in your life. For his inheritance, book of Ephesians, his inheritance in the saints, not your inheritance. Too many Christians are so worried about their inheritance in Christ, what they're going to get from Jesus, what he's going to do for them. But Jesus has deposited something in you called the Holy Spirit, and it's his inheritance in the saints. He wants to bring out of you what he's placed within you, not just what he's placed within you, more. He has an avid investment in your life. He wants to see you not just succeed on the outside, but succeed on the inside. Who believes that? Glory. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise, go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was blind. And he was 3 days without sight, he neither ate nor drank. So there's natural blindness. There's those who become blind. And there's those who God will blind to get you alone so he can minister to you. So you can't see anything but him. For he is a chosen vessel, he said to him. Verse 14, but he has authority over the chief priests to bind and call by my name. What am I doing? What's that one? Now a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias and said to him, Lord, said in the vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming to him, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias, being a wise man, said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. This man, to me, is one of the greatest men of faith. That he knows this bloke is out can captivate him, throw him in prison and kill him. He reminds Jesus, hey, Jesus, have you got this one right? Have you got the right address? You sure you don't want me to go to the crooked street instead of the street called straight? Do you want me to go to the other street? You know, I'll wait upon the Lord a bit longer. He goes. He steps out by faith and he's heard the Lord. Go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. I want every Christian to stop right now. The greatest emphasis of your Christian walk is to bear his name. The greatest emphasis of your Christian walk is to bear his name. Carry the cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. Bear his name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer or endure for my name's sake. Jesus didn't just show him the good side. He also prepared him for the days ahead. You know, them 5 times he was whipped, them 2 shipwrecks, the snake that bit him, the people that ostracized him, the people that let him down, hello, John Mark, his best mate leaving him, Barnabas, preparing him for all that. Just because you're Christian does not make you immune from trouble. I want to say that again. Just because you're a Christian does not make you immune from trouble. If we embrace our trouble, he'll change me from the inside out. On his way to persecute the way of the Lord of the way causes suddenly. The Lord of the way causes suddenly and grabbed a hold of this man and changed him. And all of a sudden, this man started to get revelation of the Word of God. This man started not just getting a revelation of the Word of God, but being fulfilled in the commission of the Lord. I want to tell you, you've been chosen for such a time as this to carry what God desires to birth through you for a generation that is lost. There is something locked up inside of you that God needs to get out of you. There is something that God has placed on your heart to do that you need to fulfill. There is something that God desires to work through you. But he might have to take you from a place to a place to a place to go, to build you to that place where you fulfill the call of God. Hello, Joseph. Joseph had to go from place to place to place till he got the revelation exactly where Egypt was. That's where God wanted him to be. Next one, please. Like Paul, everyone in the upper room that had their journey in life suddenly interrupted by a suddenly of God. The upper room got a suddenly of God. Paul got a suddenly of God. Moses got a suddenly of God. You got a suddenly of God. He will change your way. He will stop you where you're going and he will change your way. Their journey in the life suddenly interrupted by God of suddenly, like Paul, like those in the upper room, like the heroes before us, you and I have a suddenly occurred in our lives. The Holy Spirit apprehended you and I for his good works. Do you know you're designed for his good works? Do you know he's already designed the good works of God before your life? He desires for you to fulfill that. That's what's on your life. He sought you out and not by chance or by coincidence, nor by pedigree, nor by anything else. He picked you out because you and I, just like Paul, were broken. Just like Paul, you and I might have had an anger problem. Or you could have been full of pride or unforgiveness. We were on the wrong road and we were also on our own Damascus Road experience. We were consumed by that sin nature that sometimes will not let go of unforgiveness. Sometimes will not let go of pain, hurt, rejection. And people build a lifestyle around that. Monuments. And they won't let go. Some people are driven with hate like Paul. Some people are in denial like Thomas. Some people are in the fear like those in the upper room. Some people are in unforgiveness like Esau. Esau was a man that comforted himself waiting for his father to die so he could kill his brother. Took comfort in that. Some broken like David. Some rejected like Joseph. All of us have a story. All of us have been on our own Damascus road. But all the time, God is looking to do a suddenly in your life. I don't know about you, but I need constant suddenlies in my life. Sometimes I need to get shaken from apathy. Sometimes I need God to refine, rekindle the fire within me. You know that famous quote we say in Revelations chapter 2, right? Either be hot or cold. Chapter 3, be hot or cold, but he will spew out the lukewarm. Remember that? Do you know why they're lukewarm? Lack of fire. It's been turned down. The lack of fire in my life. Is there enough fire in my life to keep the lamp burning? Is there enough light in me? Am I just lukewarm? Or do I need more of the fire of God? Hot and cold is easy. But lukewarm. Lukewarm is hard. You're neither hot nor cold. And the only reason I become lukewarm is because I refuse to allow the fire to turn me up. Turn me up. The whole reason Paul suddenly was for those in the upper room, suddenly for my suddenly, for your suddenly, is to bear the witness of Jesus Christ. Acts 9, 15 and 16 says this, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" The reason for that, the reason the whole call of God is for this, that you might receive the power and the baptism of the Spirit, that you can go out and touch people for the glory of the kingdom of God. 1 and 8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's talk. Jerusalem. It's easy to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire in Jerusalem. Church. Jerusalem speaks of church. Easy in worship. When you're surrounded by everyone and everyone's praising the Lord, hallelujah and glory to God, you can join them, do the amens, glory to God, hallelujah. You can be part of the crowd, even though you might have been in the car having a fight with your wife, and she's coming in late because she's trying to settle her heart, and you're coming in from shredding one another and saying, "Well, praise the Lord, glory, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. Blessed be you, brother." Or we can play church in Jerusalem. Playing church in Jerusalem is easy. But we need to bear his name in Jerusalem. Judea, our community. Community of believers. Not too hard. Not too hard to bear the name of Jesus in our community. For all, they all have some form of faith. Not too hard to bear that lifestyle in front of them. But now we're going to get to a place called Samaria. Ah, Samaria. Mixture. Lukewarm. Yeah. Those who are lukewarm, those who aren't committed, those who have mixture in their life, they have belief yet have unbelief yet, have different things happening, yet full of opinionated, just like the woman of Samaria, telling Jesus off saying, "Don't you know we worship on this hill, this mountain? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know, Jesus? This is what we should do." Yeah, opinionated Christians. Opinionated people are full of mixture. Yet we've got to be that vessel that shows forth the glory of God. And then the rest of the world, to the uttermost parts of the earth, those who are lost, we've got to show something to the rest of the world. We've got to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God to witness and reveal the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not just in church. The anointing of God is not just for church. The anointing of God is not just to play church. The anointing of God is to change people's lives. Can I have an amen? Amen. I feel very lonely up here sometimes. It's to change people's lives. It's not to speak in tongues. It's not to prophesy. They're all good. But if it doesn't change their life, I need to see lives changed. Jesus wants lives changed. Jesus wants people saved. Jesus wants them to be plucked out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And you and I are the vessel of the hour to do it. And that's why he plucked you and I from your Damascus road. The sight came back to Paul after the Damascus road. It says he got up and said he immediately went to the synagogue and preached Jesus Christ is Lord. 3 days. I'm talking about a babe, well-versed in Old Testament, but a babe. 3 days talking about this man called Jesus that met him on a Damascus road. That's his testimony. I met a man that opened my eyes. I met a man that made me fall off my feet. I met a man that saved me. I met a man. You shall overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your what? Testimony. Every believer's got a testimony. Somehow you have a testimony of the goodness of God in your life and my life. And the world needs to hear it. In India right now, their prime minister, I'll go over here. Their prime minister hates Christians. I think within a year or two, India will be called Hinduistan. Then Christians won't be allowed to go in. There is a law that you cannot convert in India. I gave some this person asked me to give some money away when I was over there. And this couple, this elderly lady and her daughter, which was 22, her husband, Christian man, invested a lot of money, about 7 weeks' wages, a lot of money for him, a lot of money into this thing this other Christian man was doing. This Christian man, supposed to be Christian man, had fleeced people in the church, got all their money and left. So he was 8 weeks behind or 7 weeks behind in rent, 7 weeks behind in everything. And he got so despondent because it happened in church. So he left church. The Lord said to me, I didn't know her problem. The Lord said to me, this is the person I want you to give the money to. I went to the pastor and I says, I want to give this money to this person. And he said, yes, praise the Lord, yes. But tell them, and he came with me, they cannot mention your name or where they got the money from because you will not be allowed back in the country because they think you're using it for conversion. So we gave them the money. It was to the virtual dollar what she needed. She wanted so excited to go home and tell her husband that Jesus heard you and he's no man's debtor. Amen. And I believe God will restore that. He will restore them. And the tears of joy, not to me, but to their Savior, that he heard their cry. That's how God wants to use you and I. Money is a tool. That's all it is. It's just a piece of paper with numbers on it. But what it does, it enables us to bless and release people from the bondage of that thing. To bring them into harmony and unity again. Amen. God delivered me and delivered you from our Damascus road and raised us up with a purpose that you can go before and you can reach and touch people that he wants touched. He's equipped you already. The greatest equipping of your life is his presence in your life, the person called the Holy Spirit. He will equip you when you need. He will give you the words to speak when you need to speak them. Don't you be fearful what you should speak, for it will be the Spirit of your Father who will speak through you. Matthew 10 and 20. He will give you the words to speak in due season. He will give you the arms to reach out to those who need to reach. You and I, fallen on our Damascus road, our way, made to go his way. He might cause you to sit for a while, blind. He might cause you to sit. He might cause you to fast. And he'll cause you to pray till you and I get the revelation of what I've been called for. We were stopped suddenly on the Damascus Road for a reason. We were told to stay in our upper room of preparation for a reason. We were filled with the life-giving spirit and power for a reason. And you shall be witnesses to me of the resurrection life within and without, that they may see the Christ in you, that they may see the fruit upon you, that you can be that person that is a bearer of his name. That's who he's looking for. His eyes are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for a man who would say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me." Isaiah chapter 6. "Here I am, Lord. But Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. You don't know what's coming out of me. Lord, as if God doesn't know. God knows before you even think it. He knows. Here I am, Lord, a man of unclean lips." And all of a sudden, the tongs of heaven brought the coals of heaven down, touched his lips, transformed him. We need not just any fire. We need the fire of God in our life. I need the fire of God in my life. And the fire of God is not just a demonstration. It's a purification. He will work it in you from the inside out if you would let him. If you would let him. "You shall be witnesses of me, of the resurrection power and the life within, in Jesus' name. Amen." I don't know about you, but my cry is this: "Here I am, Lord. Use me. Thank you for stopping me on my Damascus Road. Thank you for stopping me going my way so I can go your way. Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving spirit that you've placed inside of me. Help me to bear your name for the glory of your kingdom, that you might be glorified in everything I do in this life. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's stand. Hallelujah. Please hear my heart this morning. I don't want to be facetious. I'm tired of the church playing church. I'm tired of the church playing church. I want the church to be the church. I want it to be the arms and the hands and the feet of his body. I want the church to be that river that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water to feed the hungry, to quench the thirst of the broken. And that's something that we've already been empowered with. I don't have to ask or beg God for that. He's already placed within your belly rivers of living waters, a mouthful of life. Hallelujah. I was probably one of the greatest critics God ever put breath into. I could criticize anything about anyone. I was shocking. Oh, yeah. I had a Laban that taught me that in my own house. But I know one thing. He changed me from the inside out. And I'm still being changed from the inside out. So now I look with eyes of compassion. Now I extend grace. Now I think things like this: there go I, but by the grace of God. I'm nothing different or anything special to anyone else. We're all the same. Issues, problems, whatever, we're the same. And each one of us has the same opportunity to do that. Yes, Lord. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you want that fresh fire to touch your lips this morning, if you need your candle of the Lord to be reignited in your heart, if you're prepared to say to the Father, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Or if you're stuck on your Damascus road, fallen, seen the light, but haven't got the strength to get up, your Father is here this morning to fulfill what He requires on your life. Some it's going to take the fire. Some it's going to take surrender. Some it's going to take forgiveness. Some it's going to say, not my will, but thy will. But He's here to equip His saints for the work of the ministry. Not your ministry. His ministry. I don't know about you, but if you want that more, you lift up your hands before the Lord this morning. You say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. I'm asking you, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for a fresh infusion of the fire of God. God, help us to be seekers of the kingdom of God first above all things. Forgive us for placing things before you. Father, we say, not my will, but thy will be done. Help me to be the instrument with a testimony of my Damascus road to those, Father, that are broken, lost, bruised, and blind. Help me to be the man in the hour. For you have created each one of us for such a time as this. This is not a time to slacken off. This is not a time to be lukewarm. This is a time to seek you earnestly. This is a time, Father, to seek you wholeheartedly. Therefore, our cry this morning is, Lord, here I am. Let the fire fall. Here I am, change me. Here I am, Lord, let me be a good tree to bear good fruit to the kingdom of God and the glory of your holy name. I surrender. I surrender to you and you alone. Have your way in me. Have your way through me. That, Lord, I can be that fragrance to be released in my house and my community, that they can see Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. And if that's you this morning, you give them an amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't despise anyone on the Damascus Road. We've all been there. Every one of us. There's a great debate among theologians. Was he riding a horse? Or a donkey? That debate can be left. Because no one knows. Only Paul and the soldiers know. I've got a hint. He was led by his hand after he fell down. He wasn't led by the reins of a horse. Anyway, some food for thought. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week. In Jesus' name, amen.